This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. If you really want to know what's going on in any even remotely quantifiable discipline, nothing paints a clearer picture than the numbers, right? They end arguments. They can help forecast what's going to happen. They are, simply put, the facts. Yeah, no, not really. In his new book, it's called The Signal and the Noise, Nate Silver argues that numbers are part of the challenge of painting a clear picture of the American economy. He is also, by the way, the creator of the political forecasting blog 538, which currently appears on the website of the New York Times. Nate, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, thank you.
What did you learn from the first example in this book, the housing crisis? What did you learn about why so many people blew it?
It has to do, I think, with having too much trust in statistical models and maybe not recognizing how noisy the data can be. That's why we call the book The Signal and the Noise.
Right.
So you had these credit rating agencies who were taking these very novel types of debt instruments, mortgage-backed securities, and giving them very high ratings, implying that they had almost no chance of defaulting. When there wasn't really much reason to believe that, if you actually sorted through the details of these, where they'd pull together a bunch of subprime mortgage debt and put them into a bundle, and then magically, through the magic of diversification, you were supposed to turn kind of straw into gold. And lo and behold, it didn't work very well.
One of the things, though, that you stress a lot in this book, and you stress it in your political predictive work as well, though, is the importance of communicating uncertainty. And I just find that so interesting because, you know, when you look at the economic numbers that come out every month, it's 8.1% unemployment, 96,000 jobs. And economic
right.
indicators are all about certainty, and yet you're saying, don't do that.
Yeah, that's what's so weird to me is you'll see a forecast, though, you know, the consensus Bloomberg forecast is 120,000 jobs will be created. Well, if you go back and look at how those do, they're off by, on average, about 70,000 jobs. Sometimes they're off by 150 or 200,000. And then you'll have a small deviation, right, where instead of being 130,000, it's 120. People say, oh, it wildly missed expectations,
right,
when actually that was pretty good. You know, a 10,000 job miss is terrific compared to how these things normally do.
One of the things you point out in this book, or you make mention of, I guess, is this idea that it's in essence the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, right? You look at the American economy and as you look at it, it changes and you can't really know what's going on. And I bring that up because here we have the Federal Reserve trying to make very tactical decisions about interest rates and quantitative easing. I mean, everybody's heard the news. And yet I'm left believing that they can't really know what's going on because they're looking at it and it's changing underneath them.
Sure. It is very difficult, for example, to measure the effects of different types of stimulus. And the reason is that you're going back and saying, well, when the economy was bad before, you know, what happened to it, right? But there were different economic policies attempted in every one of those recessions. And so it's never a total experiment where you're just sitting there and observing things. You're trying to intervene in the economy and make it better. And so, you know, this was the critique that the Nobel Prize winning economist Robert Lucas made many years ago about economic forecasting, that when you're intervening based on your anticipations of what's going to happen, it's going to actually change the outcome. It makes it very hard to know whether your forecasts were really right or not, when it can be either, like I said, a self-canceling prophecy or a self-fulfilling one sometimes, too. Everyone is convinced the economy is going off a cliff, and so people change their behavior and stop investing, and it does.
Let me get you on the record before I let you go about your field of expertise, the political system and the elections.
Sure.
Who do you like in November?
Well, we have Obama right now as about a 4-1 favorite, about an 80% favorite. And, you know, and the reason is if you go back and look at what do polls say at this time of year when Obama has, it looks like about a 4 or 5 point lead, how many candidates have come back from a deficit like that? And the answer is fewer than you'd think. The best chance for a challenger to make up ground is when he names his VP or during the conventions, and he missed those windows. So now we're not quite in the territory where you need an October surprise, but we're not too far from it either. His campaign's not gone as well as he might have hoped.
Nate Silver blogs at the New York Times, politics mostly. He writes about that and some other things as well in his new book. It's called The Signal and the Noise, Why So Many Predictions Fail, But Some Don't. Nate, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.